Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Steve, and welcome to the Milestone Pursuit podcast. It is Friday the 15th of January, and today we are going to do a short, I think it's going to be short anyway, recovery ramble that may end up being a recovery rant. Let's see how we get on. It's actually, well, my intention today is to cover and confront some of the issues that we're facing in our lives at the moment, to think about how we might be able to get through them, in particular with its impact upon our running. And I'm recording this as I run around a soggy, running through a puddle, Epping Forest. And we've had 2 days of just rubbish weather, rain, greyness. And I actually set out to record this yesterday, on Thursday, when the weather was awful. But it was just too miserable, and I was just too miserable to do it. So we're here, it's Friday. It's a bit brighter today, certainly overhead, but underfoot it's still pretty miserable underfoot. Now, through this session, a couple of things. I'm not expecting you to agree with anything I say, and I'm fine with that. The world's a pretty dull place if we all agree with everything, and a lot of it is personal perspectives, but with some qualified thoughts in there as well. And all through this, please recognise that I am far from perfect myself. A lot of this I'm trying to apply myself, but as I say, it's far from perfect. So please take it and use it as you see fit. Set up now, haven't I? You're wondering what's in store as I jog up the first hill. Just coming through on the left. Morning. Thank you. So, let's confront some issues. Not quite sure where to start. Let's start with homeschooling, shall we? That's been occupying a lot of my time and effort this week, and will be for the duration of the duration that the schools are shut. I've got two boys, Leo and Finn, aged 9 and 7, years 4 and years 3. And it's tough. To be fair, they've been pretty good this week. They've done most of the things they've been asked to do. They've taken a decent attitude to it. And they've got through it, but you really have to think about it. You really have to engage with it as a parent to keep them focused, to make sure they're getting through what they need to get through and are occupied. And I say they've done well, but their attention spans are just fractional. I found that I've had to break it up. Not just lesson by lesson, but even during the lessons, I have to say. And they're not really lessons, they're going through exercises. You know, a set of maths equations in the times tables, or doing some English. And to be clear, that's what we're focusing on, maths and English. Worrying less about all the other things. But, write a sentence. Go and do something else for a few minutes. Come back, write another sentence. I'm really trying to get them to focus on concentrating when they're doing it, and then thinking about something else completely differently when they're not, as opposed to sitting there. And what they tend to do is write a sentence and then sit there and stare into space for an hour. An hour is an exaggeration, but you know my point. You get my point. So really keep breaking it up with lots of little activities. And it's tough. The whole thing is tough because it's an alien environment to them, but it's also alien to us and to me as a parent. And I totally get that the education and the welfare and the development of my children is my responsibility. And I'm up for that. That's why I became a parent in the first place. But I never thought that I would be teaching them, and teaching them specific things like the difference between a simile and a metaphor, or how to carry over in multiplication of double-digit numbers. So I'm woefully out of my comfort zone, and as are they. So it makes for quite a stressful experience. Even if it goes well, it's hard, it's tiring. And then that's the education experience. There's also so much more than what goes on in the classroom. Well, actually in the classroom they have interaction with their school friends, don't they? They learn from one another, they talk about the work. They talk about other things, I'm sure. And that's all part of the experience that they're lacking. And they can't articulate that they're missing that. They don't know that. And so they can get quite stressed without realising why. But also, what's missing in this whole experience is the gaps in between. Oh yeah. So in a typical school setting, they are moving around the school from one place to another. And in those movements around, there's social interactions. There's seeing behaviours of other, perhaps older children. There's the opportunity to be role models to younger children. There's interaction with other adults. In those spaces in between the lessons, there's quite a lot of richness, I think. And I'm not necessarily just talking about breaks. I'm literally talking about going from one thing to another. The transitions, which many children found hard. It's really complicated and ultimately really difficult. Now I'm sure that in time we will look back and go, oh, it's an amazing time. Got all that time with our children, helped and supported them. But when you're in it, it's tough. It's really hard work. Now one of the other things that's hard about homeschooling is the technology. Now I'm a bit of a Luddite, as many people will point out to me, and I like things to work nicely. And some of the kit's really good that you get. So you get some obviously internet-based learning. We've got enough devices to be able to manage it, so we're lucky. But some of it's not that intuitive, and you're not sure where you are, you've got to go back and forwards. And the kids are learning too, and it takes them time to get to grips with it. And in that time of getting to grips with it, it can be quite frustrating and quite tiring. And I'll return to that point about technology a little bit later. So it's all really, it's tough, it's tiring. It's hard work. and you get to the end of the day, oh yeah, and you want to switch off. And for me, sport is a big feature of switching off, and there's been a distinct lack of that, of a mixture of live sport, not just football. And of course, if you go beyond that and look at the news and look at what's going on in the world, we are stuck in a place where it's actually in a desperate state, isn't it? The world is in a desperate state at the current moment. So of course, you know, we've come off the back of record numbers of deaths from COVID. And yet we're desensitized to that. It's almost normal. It's no longer shocking. And that, to me, in itself, is shocking. We've got ourselves to a place where it's normal. I don't know who look at it. And it's still quite humbling and scary. But really, you know, we're a bit desensitized, as I say. And that's not great, is it? Not great at all. The number of cases might be starting to fall a little. Now that these lockdown measures we've had in place for 10 days or so are taking more effect. But we're a long way off, aren't we? We're a long way off getting our freedom. And freedom is one of the great values of humans. The freedom to roam. The freedom to do as we please. And having restrictions on our freedom. For whatever reason, is not good for us. It's not good for our brains. So there's a sense that we can't escape. And then you layer onto that your every move, when you have the opportunity to escape, your every move is scrutinized. Did I run too far from home the other day, for example? And our right and our ability to exercise has become the source of focus, and people are beginning to complain about people running. You start to see it on social media and in the news, with the ever combative Piers Morgan having a pop at runners who run down high streets. So whether you agree with that or not, and I've got some sympathy with that perspective, that you should be trying to run away from other people, it's still another blocker to our freedom. And of course, even Boris received complaints about going for a cycle ride 6.4 miles away from his home. In my mind, there's plenty of other things to complain to Boris about at the moment, that we don't need to focus on whether he went for a bike ride 6 and a bit miles from home or not. And he should be focusing on other things, quite frankly, like getting his vaccine program rolled out. But the scrutiny is there. And one of those things he should be focusing on is the free school meals debacle. And perhaps he is, according to Marcus Rashford's latest tweets, are saying he had a conversation with the Prime Minister about how they were going to sort out the supply chain issues, i.e. provide more food within the budget. And therein is a lesson. The way Marcus Rashford has conducted himself provides a lesson to us all. It's almost Nelson Mandela-like. It is about working with people, showing compassion and empathy for both the people who you're attempting to serve and the people whose minds you need to convince. Showing us that it is possible, and he's done it, and he's doing it without a big puddle. Whew. He's done it and he's doing it without riling his opponents. And I think that making enemies of your opponents is rarely a good thing. It rarely ends well. You're much better place to attempt to take high ground and empathize than you are to antagonize. As Donald Trump is finding to his personal cost now, continued attempts to antagonize and rile his opponents is now coming back to bite him quite squarely on his arse. Even his supporters are turning against that approach. Now, it can work for a while. Alright, don't worry, thank you. It can work for a while, antagonizing opponents, it can get your supporters on side. But eventually, it will work against you. Well, we're going deep into this rant now, aren't we? Gone from homeschooling to Donald Trump. The last bit I wanted to just touch on was technology again. And I've had a frustrating week with technology. With the software that I used for the podcast platform and for keeping hold of my valuable documents online. So Acast and Dropbox. I had problems with both. And in both cases, it is virtually impossible to actually speak to a human. It's all done online via email or chatbot. And it's slow. Man, it's slow. It takes them forever to respond. And you're left hanging in this void. And really, this is about human connection, emotional connection, which is so lacking in our lives right now. Probably at a time when we need it the most, we are unable to connect with one another. And it's tiring. It is tiring living this life. And we are struggling with it. For me, there's a real sense that we are limping through to the vaccination stage of COVID life. Head down, muddle through. Let's get to where we need to get to. Hopefully, sooner rather than later. Hoping that the government's plans come off. Well, we'll see. But for me, that's not enough. Just waiting is not enough. There's no way to live, whether you're 80 or whether you're 20, it's no way to live. But that doesn't mean we get reckless and go out and live our lives again. It means we think about the way that we live our lives. So I've been pretty miserable so far through this. Let's turn the tables. Thank you. Let's turn the tables and start thinking about what we can do. And the first of those is about looking at how much of what is going on is outside of your control. And the answer is, there is a lot that you cannot do anything about. And anyone who knows me reasonably well will know what I'm about to say. All we can do is control the controllables. Control what's going on with us. And handily, runners are good at that, because running is one of the sports that is most about controlling the controllable, because it is all about you. You might race somebody else from time to time, but mostly it's about you, your effort levels, your motivation, your technique. It is mostly about you. So we know how to do it. We know how to control the controllables, and importantly, the flip side of that coin is controlling how you feel about the things you can't control. That doesn't mean we become automatons, emotionless as we go about our business, but it means that we focus on the things that we can influence and use our emotions to drive us through. And the first place to go with controlling the controllables is about what you are going to achieve and what you are looking to achieve. So I'm going to return to that idea of goal setting, which we talked about in the last recovery ramble. And in particular, the why that sits behind your goals. You may well have changed in the course of the last 2 weeks. So what is going on with your why? And for me, with our running, back in the first lockdown, I was advocating a cautious approach to our training, doing enough to keep us ticking over, to boost our immune system and protect our mental health, but not doing so much that we'd suppress our immune system and run the risk of injury, which would lead to us not being able to run, which would impact upon our mental health. So it's about balance. And it still is to a degree, but I've changed that perspective now for this time. I now think it's important that we train with purpose. And I think that because we need to have some direction and some focus as we go through this period, where, as I say, we might be thinking, let's just get through it, let's just bumble along. But I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough for our brains. And I think it's going to take a little while, and I think it's too long for us just to bumble through. So let's train with purpose. Set yourself some goals and some challenges, even if the races that you identify perhaps as your goals don't happen. And this is classic thinking about process over outcome. Invest in it. Invest in yourself. Train with purpose. What does that look like? Well, to me, it looks like putting blocks together. Really thinking about what you want to achieve in the course of the next 6-8 weeks. And it also means trying to be consistent and finding a way, finding a new rhythm amid all the mayhem. And being targeted and specific in what you're looking to do. And by specific, referring back to our milestone setting, it is something like to run a half marathon in a new PB time in May. But I know that that is not easy. There's so much ambiguity. It can be tough, especially when sessions get hard and you're tired after a day of homeschooling or Zoom calls. And at that time, I think it's important that you don't force it. You don't force yourself down that goal route. You give yourself a break. You practice some self-compassion. You forgive yourself for feeling a bit down. Forgive yourself for feeling low energy. But keep up with the consistency and the mojo. It will come. It will come. It just might take a bit of time as we readjust both our goals and the rhythm of our life. And of course you can revisit your goals through that, and in particular you can revisit the importance of those goals, because that will likely have changed and is likely to change quite a lot in the course of the next week, few weeks and months. So keep asking yourself why. Why is this important to me? Whatever it is. Whether it's the Zoom call, the homeschool, the 10 sets of 2 minutes at 5k pace, the long run at the weekend. Ask yourself, why is it important? And keep asking yourself. Stay in tune with what you're trying to achieve. And this is the heart of resilience. This is what resilience is all about. The idea that you pick yourself up and go again when confronted with challenges or troubles. It's not a question of grit. It's distinct from grit, which is about persevering through those challenges headlong into your goal, which may have some applications, some useful applications, like at the end of a race when it's getting tough, for example. But generally, resilience is not about how you bounce back and go again against the same thing. It's about how you adapt. How you adapt as a consequence of those challenges you face. And resilience is a complex concept, and is one that we will return to in a future recovery ramble in more depth. Because sports people are fantastic at being resilient, and there's loads we can learn from them. So we'll do that separately. But this idea that we pick ourselves up by really considering why we're doing what we're doing on an ongoing basis, to create some purpose in our life at a time when things are so desperate in the world that we can't control, is really what today is all about. And I'll leave you with the thought that it's not failure to adjust your goals. It is failure not to adjust them in the face of stiff challenges that undermine your mental health. So there we have it. I told you it'd be short today. Thank you for bearing with my ramblings and my rants. I hope it was in some way useful or interesting. and I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Take care.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.